we want to plan for whatever could happen.
Yeah.
Right? We obviously have no idea what's going to happen, mm-hmm. but we want to be as prepared as possible, right? Yeah. And helping people to understand, too, just what addiction is. Because like you said, so many people, it's just misunderstood,
yeah.
right? Because you'll have the one family member who knows everything about addiction, right? And then you have the one that, why can't they just stop? Like, yeah. this is ridiculous. I'm over this. I'm fed up, you know? So trying to educate them so they understand. And usually yeah. once you get more education, it's easier to be empathetic with what's going on, right?
Right.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
All right, so today we're talking about intervention. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have seen this is a popular term now because of a TV show.
Sure. Right. I was watching it last night.
Really?
Yeah.
So I guess the first question is, how accurate is the TV show to real life?
There's a lot of parallels to it to where it's accurate. It depends. Typically what you're seeing on the show Intervention is the Johnson model, which is kind of that surprise. They don't know that it's coming, setting all the hard boundaries and things like that. So it's pretty accurate in a lot of ways. Yeah.
All right. Good, because I know it's education for some people.
For sure.
My wife watched it while I was getting towards the end of my addiction, mm-hmm. and it was helpful for her to see what the addiction was, because there's a lot of misconceptions. Right?
For sure.
And you and I may well agree and know it's a disease of the brain, and there's some physiological things at play, but not everybody understands that. It's just, why do you keep hurting yourself and hurting us. Mm-hmm. They don't get it.
Yeah.
So you said Johnson model. Mm-hmm. Are there different modalities to approaching intervention?
Yeah, there's a couple. So there's, the Johnson model is just that. It's kind of the confrontational. They don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
Family's prepped, that kind of stuff.
They show up, they walk in a room.
Whoa, surprise.
Everyone's circled up and they're like,
hey.
Okay.
So then there's like an invitation model too. Mm-hmm. That's much different. So you're inviting the person of concern or the addict. So you're basically letting them know in a very loving way, like, hey, we have a family issue because addiction is a family disease too. And you're inviting them to sit down at that family meeting to discuss, right?
Yeah.
In that specific model, if you're looking at them, it's less. We're not just pointing the finger at you. If anything, we're pointing the finger at ourselves, which honestly, even when I do interventions, if it's the Johnson model, I take that approach every time is, hey guys, we're not going to sit down and just point the finger at little Johnny and say,
yeah,
you need to change. You have a problem. We're going to look in the mirror at ourselves and figure out what do we need to change? Because we all have skin in this game. Right?
Yeah, right.
You know?
That's good. What do you think the advantages to a surprise intervention are, as opposed to the invite?
So the surprise one, you know you're going to get them there, right? With the invitation one is you invite them out. They may or may not accept, but you still meet with the family. You still let them know, hey, we're going to meet anyways.
You know? So it's letting
them know, it's at a minimum letting them know we're all getting together to talk about this issue. Like, we're not going to hide from it anymore. Mm. So whether you'd like to come or not, we'd love for you to be there, and you meet, and then when you do another one, hey, we're going to have another meeting. So you're hoping that they're going to show up. The problem is you may not ever get them to show up, depending on the person, because each person's different, right?
Right.
You know, with more of that Johnson surprise model, we know they're going to be there, right? Yeah. But it is more confrontational, right? Yeah. Like I tell families is we want to take something that's going to naturally feel confrontational to them, and how do we make it as loving and empathetic as possible, right?
That's good, yeah.
Because they perceive it as confrontation, but we all know we're here because we love them and we want to save their life, right?
Well, yeah, and in addiction, we see accountability, and oftentimes we see love as things we want to push away from, because both of those things infringe on our ability to get high.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So take me through the process of... Mm-hmm. Let's just pick one of the models, right? Mm-hmm. I'd like to pick the invitation one.
Okay.
Because that sounds interesting. I like the way it's set, that you're even if the if the addict doesn't show up, the family still gets to do something. Mm-hmm. So typically, what's that process look like from first call to actually doing it?
So a lot of the, at least with me, a lot of the prep work for it looks similar. But you talked about the process, and it's just that. So the way I explain it to families is an intervention is a process. Mm. It's not a one-time event, right? So the process starts when we have our first initial phone call, right? Because, you know, I get families who call and they say, here's what's going on. Do you think you can help, right? Yeah. So kind of get that initial assessment out of the way and share what I do, how I do it, how I think I can help. And then also let them know, like I said before, is, hey, we're not just trying to work on this one person. We got to work on everyone in order for this thing to work. Because it's statistically proven, and you know this from work in the field, that if the family gets healthy and does their own work, then their loved one or the addict has a much greater chance of at some point getting healthy. I mean, it's no guarantee, but they have a much better chance, right? So I work with a family just to figure out, hey, who all needs to be part of this and who doesn't. I say who doesn't because there are certain people that just, they're unhealthy themselves or...
How do you determine that? Like, how do you know, like, yeah, let's not have Uncle Bobby here?
So it's just through conversations and figuring, Uncle Bobby, just through conversations and figuring out, like, you know, you may have someone who is using with that person, right? We might say, okay, that is a person we may not need there, or that's a person we need to loop in at the last minute because they're gonna let them know kind of what's going on, right? Yeah. It may be a person who, depending on their relational equity or where they're at through the years, there might be a lot of trauma there in the relationship. So you might say, hey, this person's extremely triggering for them. So let's figure out what their role is. Is their role going to be, they might be there virtually. They might put some thoughts on paper and we read it. Or maybe they're just not a part of this initial process right now.
How important is it that the interventionist has personal experience with addiction themselves?
They don't have to. I see it as a plus. I'm probably biased because I'm in recovery myself too. I think it might help them empathetically get connected with the family and with the addict too. Mm-hmm. But I know some interventionists who don't. They're just really well versed. But it seems like it's hard now to find anyone in the world who's, they may not be in recovery, but haven't been touched by addiction in some type of way.
Right. So once you determine who's showing up to the party, right? And everybody, is this, and you're working with kind of your point person, really, or maybe normally the person that reached out, right? Mm-hmm. And so together you're working on this. You get everyone committed.
Mm-hmm. Usually when we're discussing, like, hey, who do you want a part of this? I'll usually have some phone calls with them too.
Okay, yeah.
Just to get a feel for where they're at, what's their relationship to the person that we're concerned about, what are those different things? Because it is, everyone's got a different dynamic, everyone's got a different role, but everyone's vital in the whole process. So some conversations with them, and then typically we will set up logistically, if we're doing the invitation, we would set up our meeting, right? We would go through what we're going to do, how it's going to go logistically. You know, we're going to talk through all the different type of verbiage as far as like...
Do you role play that? Do you kind of get everybody on a call?
Mm-hmm.
And
so you, check that dynamic? We want to plan for whatever could happen.
Yeah. Right?
We obviously have no idea what's going to happen, but we want to be as prepared as possible, right? Yeah. And helping people to understand too, just what addiction is. Because like you said, so many people, it's just misunderstood, right? Because you'll have the one family member who knows everything about addiction, right? And then you have the one that, why can't they just stop? Like, this is ridiculous. I'm over this. I'm fed up, you know? So trying to educate them so they understand. And usually once you get more education, it's easier to be empathetic with what's going on, right?
Right.
So
some of those kind of mock or role-playing sessions are... you're kind of role-playing that out and educating people. in that process. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
So well, then what's next? So put the date on the calendar?
So we put the date on the calendar, and with both, whether we're doing an invitation or more of that Johnson model, which honestly, most people I talk to, for some reason, the calls I get, we're in really desperate situations. So most people are saying, we've done this before, or we've done the invitation before, so we'd like to go this way. And it's like, okay, we can do that, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so we set up logistics, like when are we going to meet? Where are we going to meet? What do we think is going to be the most disarming? Where are they going to feel the most comfortable at?
Yeah.
And we set a time, and specifically with the invitation, we'll come up with like a message of recovery, if you will, right? So I'll help them figure out basically how to write something out, how to invite them there. So so when you're calling them to invite them, they know I'm coming to a, we don't call it an intervention, I'm coming to a family meeting,
yeah,
right? And saying it in a way of essentially, we'll go to the ends of the earth, you know, to help you, but we, again, using that word we, not you, we need to get some help. We need to do some things.
Right? Yeah, right.
Because if you said like, hey, you need to come to this meeting because we need to figure out your problem.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't want to come to that either.
Yeah.
I'm not going to that.
Right.
I had those.
Yeah.
And I didn't show up to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, how much of what happens after the intervention, how much of that are you planning? Do you predetermine the sober living or the rehab or the detox facility? Do you have that all worked out?
All done, ready to go for the intervention. So what I do is when we go kind of backing up to where I have those initial phone calls with family members, that information is good for me because I start figuring out, first and foremost, what's going to be best clinically for this person? What do they need, right? Mm-hmm. Do they need residential? Do they need strong mental health component too? Do they just need IOP and sober living or one or the other? What do they need, right?
Yeah, right.
So I will come up with usually at least three options for the family. Mm-hmm. They're all places that I've personally either been to or know people in the field that vouch for, that do good work. And I give them all to them without fail. They always say like, well, just which one should we go with? And I'm like, no, so listen, you guys do some research.
Yeah.
They're all good. Let me know which one you come up with. I'll help you get connected with them. We'll run, here's what the financials look like, if there's any. So I'll help with all that.
Yeah.
Basically, I'll help them with all of the admission process with whatever place they choose, minus their loved one actually doing, you know, their assessment or intake or whatever it is. So we'll have all that. We'll have all that stuff done, ready to go. Because the last thing you want to do is, even if a family's not doing a formal intervention, but they're going to sit down with their loved one, like, you got to have a plan ready.
Yeah.
Because if they say, hey, I'll do it, and then you say, all right, well, give us a couple of days to figure it out.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I'm gone. You know?
But I also like what you said, that you require them to do the legwork.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'll get you connected. I've got, you know, call such and such in admissions, ask some questions, I'll help you, here's the information, but you guys do some research and you feel comfortable with it, right?
Yeah.
Because if I tell them, hey, go here, and you know, you can have a bad experience at the best place in the world, and they have a bad experience, well,
it's your fault now, it's not the addict, it's not them, right? Because like you said, the family's addictive, so a lot of those behaviors, mm-hmm. right, codependent behaviors, blaming, shaming, that's all happening on various levels with everybody around that addict who's affected by drugs and alcohol, right?
Sure.
So they agree, mm-hmm. all right, we're going to get the help.
Yeah.
You got a white van in the driveway ready to go.
Yeah. So every situation is different. So you might have someone who they're a more professional type, right? Like, they mm-hmm. got to take care of maybe some work stuff, some FMLA stuff, like let their employer know. So, and then you have some situations where, hey, you don't have anything to worry about. We're good to go. Let's wrap this thing up, put a bow on it, and let's go right now. So every situation is different. So that I will help the family. We'll figure all that stuff out. We want to have as much done as we can ready to go. Let's remove every obstacle that this person can think of, right?
Yeah.
Like I did a intervention last week, and this person took care of some dogs, right? That was their profession. And like we had already set up with other people, like, hey, can you take care of these dogs when they're gone? So that was one of the big things was, well, I can't leave. I got all these dogs I'm taking care of. And we're like, hey, we've got it all taken care of. We've already got someone who's going to watch them. You're good to go, right? So if we can remove all those different barriers that we foresee already coming up, it's going to make us more successful. Because that's the thing, too, that I tell people in the beginning, like, I can't guarantee you that they're going to go get help.
Right. You know? Addiction is a complex disease to treat.
Yep.
Because you're dealing with so many aspects of the human being.
Yeah.
Right? But it is a disease. Mm-hmm. So there are some proven models and methods that generally will result in certain things, right? Mm-hmm. So we know that, like, having clearer... I remember for me specifically, like, when I was cut off from certain things, right?
Sure.
My options became more limited, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That was something that I needed, right? Mm-hmm. I needed that. And so I'm sure that as you are helping the family afterwards, right, in that transition, that there's some things that you know, this is a general case, let's, you know, not give them the cash. Maybe we get them a Kroger card mm-hmm. or something like that, right?
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, I tell families the intervention is just as much, if not more, for the family than it is for the actual addict.
Yeah. Right.
And it kind of blows their mind when they hear that. And that's going back to if I can get all of you guys healthy and all on the same page and thinking together, then, you know, they have a much better chance of being successful.
Right.
They have a much better chance of this intervention working, and we have a much better chance of them being successful long term.
Yeah.
If you guys stick to those things. So we'll talk through what are healthy boundaries, right?
Yeah.
What are good things we need to start doing, you know? And they're not easy, you know? Like, it's easy from the side of the table where I'm sitting at to tell a mom and dad, like, if he's not going to stop using, you can't keep letting him just living in the basement, right?
Yeah.
And trying to get him to understand, well, like, in a situation like that, they'll say, well, we're not giving him any money. And I'm like, well, does he pay rent? No. Does he pay for food? And they'll say, well, no. And I'm like, well, that's the same as giving him money.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, well, how so? And I'm like, well, if he had to pay those things, right, whenever he got money, it would have to go towards that. Now, whenever he gets money, what does it go to? And they're like, well, it goes to drugs. And I'm like, well, yeah, so it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? And helping them get to a point to get healthy, to understand that, because they'll see that as not a loving thing.
Right.
Right.
It's hard.
And it is.
A lot of it's the way we define love, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, families tell me, they say, okay, so I need to do tough love. And I just say, no, you need to love them. And they're like,
that's good. Yeah.
Because I try to tell them, I say, I get what you're saying, but there's love is love. There's not like a soft, warm, fuzzy feeling and then a tough one. Like, they're all.
It's all love.
It's all love.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You can't have this over here and then not have that or not have this. Like, that's just part of being in a relationship and loving someone. You sign up for both of those.
So when is the time to call an interventionist? Like, mm-hmm. When are the signs to say, you know what, I need help with this situation?
Yeah. So I think... I always tell people the best time to do an intervention is right now, right? That doesn't mean that you do a intervention where you have someone like me or someone else come in. And whether you're calling an interventionist or a treatment center, I say the minute you think or feel like there's an issue is the time to reach out for help, right? Because you can't, just like someone in addiction, I would tell them, hey, you can't do this on your own. I would tell the family, you can't do this on your own. You need support.
Right.
Because it's really, really hard, right? Yeah. So I would encourage someone immediately, as soon as they feel like there is a problem, or even if they don't feel like there is one, but someone else is saying, like, hey, we have an issue here, reach out for help, you know? Because you never know, too. I talk with a lot of families, and I'm like, hey, have you asked your loved one ever if they'll go get some help because you see a problem? And they're like, well, no, I haven't done that yet. I was calling for you to do that. And I'm like... Let's try this. Let's just ask them this way. Very calm, very lovingly over dinner, on the couch, whatever. and just see what they say, right? And they're like, okay. And they'll call me back and be like, they said they've been waiting forever. They broke down. They're ready to get some help. I'm like, good. You don't need me. You
know what I mean? Yeah.
You're good to go. And I think a lot of people, they just get, and I get it. It's scary. Like they just, they don't know, what do I say? How do I say it? If I say it this way and they react that way, what do I do? And it's just.
It's all this fear about addressing it.
Yeah.
Well, man, this has been very educational.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. Very helpful. Thank you for being here. And thank you for the work that you do. And because I know you personally, I know that you go above and beyond, right? And, you know, you need to eat. But you're not in this because of the money. You're in this because you know what it feels like to be addicted. Mm-hmm. And you want to help as many people to not have to suffer.
Sure.
And that's huge, and we need more people like you out here doing it.